The reading this morning is Acts chapter 10. We'll be reading the first 8 verses. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa.
Good morning. For what reason have you sent for me? It's an interesting question, and a question in which we'll talk more about here in just a moment, but it is not from me particularly, but from the very words of Peter. In this passage that was just read for us in Acts chapter 10, there is a story given to us of the conversion, what will ultimately become the conversion of Cornelius, the first Gentile convert to Christ. You may or may not be familiar fully with that story. That's not fully necessary this morning, although I would encourage you to read all of Acts chapter 10 if you have opportunity sometime this week to do so. The very beginning of this story given to us as we read in Acts chapter 10 verses 1 through 8 is the man Cornelius, a devout man, one who feared God. And in a vision, he sees there being told, you need to send for Peter, and specifically, even where Peter is. And he sends men there. In the next few verses, verses that we had not read this morning and that we're not going to read this morning, but in the very next verses, you have now a picture on the very next day, Peter. And Peter is given a vision. And he is given a vision by God of a sheet full of animals. And God tells Peter, kill and eat. And Peter's concerned by that because he says, God, listen, there are unclean animals here. I've never eaten those kinds of things before. And God tells Peter, it's okay. What I have made clean is clean. The text tells us that 3 times Peter is shown that vision. That is followed up by the Spirit telling Peter, there are men coming for you, sent from a mother man by the name of Cornelius, and when they get there, you go with them. And that's exactly what happens. These men come that Cornelius has sent to Peter, and they come to Peter, and they say, listen, you need to come with us. And Peter goes. And in the following verses, Peter and Cornelius come face to face in really a remarkable way, if you begin to think about it, as a vision given to Cornelius that says, listen, you need to send for this man, Peter. At the same time, a vision given to Peter that says, you need to go and speak to this man. And now God has put these two men face to face. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 29, Peter tells Cornelius, listen, God has sent me to you. And he says, I have come without objection as soon as I was sent for. And I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? What an interesting question. And it's a question that I'll have you this morning consider. As Peter asked Cornelius, why have you called for me? Why is it that you want me here? What is it that you want from me? This morning, I would like you to consider that same question, but not from Peter's perspective, but now from my own personal perspective. I have been coming here for the last several weeks, every other week for the last month or so, but now, as was mentioned by Morgan at the beginning, we are here for good. And several of you were at the house yesterday helping out. We appreciate that. And you know, we actually have a place and there's stuff in it now. Now that's just stuff. We moved from a house full of boxes in Florida last week to a house full of boxes here in Indiana this week. It's the same boxes, but now in a very different place. But we are here. We plan to be here. And this morning I want you to consider, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Specifically, even from me. Are you looking for entertainment? I love my preacher to be entertaining. That's what I'm looking for. Now, the denominational world, that's what they're looking for. In the denominational world, they're looking for their speaker to be entertaining. They're looking for their worship to be a showcase of some sort. And maybe this morning, that's what you're looking for. Are you looking for someone to come in and do all of the work? For example, a preacher to come in, and when he comes in, he's going to do all of the evangelism, or he's going to do all of the greeting of the visitors. Now the preacher is here, I don't have to greet visitors anymore. Or he's going to do all of the visiting to those who are sick and those who are struggling. Now that he's here, I don't have to do any of those things anymore. We can have all kinds of things on our mind. But I'm going to help you out and give you two reasons for which I have come. We're going to begin in this same context with Peter's answer to Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, here after Peter asks why it is that Cornelius has sent, listen to the response. Beginning there in verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. And so I sent to you immediately. And you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Let's begin right here in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius sends for Peter, and Peter comes, and he says, Why have you sent for me? What reason have you sent for me? And Cornelius very plainly states, the reason I have sent for you is not to hear what you have to say or not to hear what you think about things, but I have sent for you to hear from God. What has God in store for me? And so as we think this morning about why it is that I have come, and I've told you two things that I'm going to share with you. The first, well, we're going to get both of them at the same time, apparently. Just pretend you can't see that bottom. Is that easy to do? Just pretend you can't see that bottom part. I can't cover that up with anything. Well, we're going to begin right here. I have come in a simple way to preach and to teach the truth. Now, for me, my most favorite passage that comes to preaching God's word, and the one passage that I spend a lot of time thinking about and meditating on, is given to us by the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say about his giving or telling of the truth. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not done with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I love this passage. I love this passage because the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to these brethren in Corinth, and if you are in any way familiar with this particular book of 1 Corinthians, they have issues. They have problems, a lot of which Paul will address in this book. And he says almost right at the very beginning here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he wants them to understand, I've not come to do anything at all except Jesus and him crucified. That is my focus in every way. I've not come to be impressive. I've not come for any other reason but to share with you what God wants. I love it. And I love it because that is where I am in my preaching. The promise that I will make to you, even this morning, is the promise that I will make and continue to work on and strive to keep to the best of my ability, is to simply speak the truth. To speak and teach the truth that I find here in God's Word. When it comes to my preaching, especially, and even my teaching, for me, well, the promise that I'll make is it will not be an opportunity for me to climb up upon my personal soapboxes or my personal opinions on things. It will always be about the truth. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, what do we have there from Jesus himself? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, I'm not a perfect preacher. And you're going to find out very quickly, I'm certainly not a perfect grammarian. I was born and raised in the state of Kentucky, and that'll give you maybe some opportunity for that. And even outside the city, even in Bullitt County, and even more of you may know even where that is and what that is saying. I'm not great at grammar. I work on it, and I try to become better, but it's not something I've really been focused on a lot. But I will say this. The responsibility that I feel when I'm standing here or when I'm in a classroom or even when I'm sitting on a couch or on a table and God's word is open, the responsibility that I feel and that I take seriously is pretty high. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that there will be times in which you'll be sitting there and you'll think, he is preaching directly to me. He put this lesson together with me in mind. And you may even at times think, how could he ever do something like that? And you may come to me afterwards and you may say, did you put that lesson together with me in mind? And I love that question because my answer is always, yes, with you directly in mind. Because that's how I put all of my lessons together. All of my lessons are put together with you in mind, with me in mind. Now, it's not to bemoan you, or it's not because of spite or anything like that. But if you're sitting there and you're feeling he's preaching that directly to me, I love that. Because, yes, it's exactly the reason I put that lesson together. We study passages like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you may ask, what is the reason you've come? What is it that you're all about? I am simply all about the truth. That's what I'm all about. I'm all about God's word. I'm not all about what Jeremy has to say or what he thinks. I'm all about what God has to say and what he thinks. There will be time that we will open up God's word, whether it is here in this pulpit or back in the classroom, and to quote an old cliche, your toes will be stepped on. That's because God's word pierces. That's what it's intended to do. And it's for no other reason other than I am here to speak the truth. And I'm here to speak the truth from the very beginning of God's word to the very end of God's word. And I will do to the very best of my ability to cover each and everything that I can get to, that I can have time to get to. Well, secondly, as you already know, why else have we come? Well, we have come to be a part of this family specifically. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Listen to the Apostle Paul in talking about the family of the church of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." You have an illustration given to us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A good Bible study remembering tool. You have a very similar illustration given by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. It is a great illustration because it is an illustration that every single one of us can understand, because every single one of us, at least the ones that I can see, all have bodies. And so all of us can understand the understanding of the eyes and the nose and the ears and the hands and the feet and the head and the legs, and the understanding, the need for all of those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 paints a picture of a group of God's people that are not just a body, but as we continue to see throughout the New Testament, the illustration of the family. That's why so often, more than any other, you see the term brethren given to us in the New Testament. That, I want you to know, is something that I take seriously. And yes, even though as the preacher, I fulfill a role that is unique, I fulfill a role that is different from almost everyone else. But I want you to know, even though I fulfill that role in the body that is different than really everybody else, at least to the level that I fulfill it, for me, I in every way consider myself a part of this flock. And even as the preacher and as a part of this flock, under the authority of the shepherds, just like everyone else that is here, my role is different. It's unique. It looks different. But it is in every way a part of the body. It is a body here at Traders Point that myself and my wife and my children, we have great desire to be a part of. Now, it's going to take a couple of things on your part. The first thing that it's going to take is going to take patience. It's going to take patience because there are five of us and 300 of you. And although I've been up here several times, it has really bothered Kim in a lot of ways because she feels like I've just gotten such a huge head start than, you know, everybody else in the family. And on some degree, that's the case, but not in great degree. There are still five of us and 300 of you. And so I'm going to first off ask for a little bit of patience. Not just patience to get to know your names, that will come, but we're going to need patience to get to know you. Because that's what I want. I want not to just know your names, I want to know you. And that's going to take patience because it's going to take conversations that you and I are going to have. It's going to take moments and conversations that may even and should happen outside of this building. And again, there are five of us and 300 of you. And sometimes those conversations are going to take a little bit of time to happen. But I want you to know that's a desire that we have. We want to be a part of this family and this work. I know I made mention just a moment ago, listen, I'm not a perfect preacher by any stretch. It's something that I work on, but I'm also not a perfect man. And as we kind of close this thought a little bit, I don't know anyone here that is. My wife is not a perfect woman, but I don't know who else is. My children are not perfect children. And the only reason I add that is one caveat that I will ask of you is for myself and most certainly for my wife and for my children to please not hold them to a higher standard of living than even God would. They want to be a part of what we have here, and they want to be a part of what we've got going on. You know, the key component to a lot of this is that, listen, we're a part of, and we're excited to be a part of not just the work that's going on here, but we are excited about being a part of the body of Christ that is here. That's what we're excited about. And I pray that you're excited about that as well. For what reason have you sent for me? Well, I'll tell you, I've come to speak the truth. And I've come to be a part of the family here. Now, let's put a tight little bow on things. You may be sitting there thinking, boy, you did an awful lot of talking about you today, what you're doing. But really, the reality is I've kind of snuck in a little bit. Those two things, it needs to be the absolute reality, not just for me as the preacher, but it needs to be the reality for every single one of us here. By way of application, you have opportunity, as a lot of you will, and some of you have certainly in the past and will in the future, to stand right here in this pulpit and deliver a lesson to folks or to be in a classroom, men and women teaching. And I encourage you to always remember, it's not about you, it's about God. Each and every one of us, I hope, will have opportunity to open up God's word and to sit across from someone who is lost, a family member, a friend, a neighbor. And again, I encourage you to always remember, it's not about what you think and say, it's about what God thinks and says. And then the reality of the fact of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, each and every one of us, that's the picture we have there given, each and every one of us are a part of the body here. Each and every one of us have a role, and each and every one of us are important. I'd encourage you to take that seriously. I promise to you that I'll do those two things. I'd ask for you this morning to think about those two things as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time of worship that you've provided to us. An opportunity for us to consider you, who you are, what you have done for us. We thank you for what you have done in providing us, particularly safety in our travels over the last couple of days. We ask for your consideration as we continue to settle here into this place, into the community. We thank you so much for the body of Christ that meets here. We pray your blessings upon our efforts to spread your word, upon our efforts to edify one another. We pray that you bless our shepherds as they lead us. Give them the wisdom to follow you in all of their decisions and give us the courage to follow them. We thank you so much for your word, for its power to influence our lives, and we pray that you give us the courage to stand up for it and the faith to apply it. We know that you have the power in all things, and we pray that you continue to bless us all as we strive as best as we can to follow you. We thank you so much for your son, for the sacrifice that was made, for what it means to each and every one of us. And it is through his name that we pray this morning. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. It's a time, an opportunity for us to consider where we are with God. It's a great opportunity for each and every one of us. And as we sing this song, I would ask you to do that, to think about the words, to think about where you are. Our relationship with God is the single most important, most defining relationship that we have. We need to make sure it's where it needs to be. We have no promise of another day, no promise of another opportunity like this one. So let's take advantage of it. Maybe we can help you in some way. If we can, let us know as we stand.